Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. How was your... Now, this is your first week completely off. No pressure to tweet
right.
for an album. How was it?
Well, it was... I had several sets. Last night, I did Jetpack, which is at Bar Lubitz. And then I have two sets. I have a set tonight at the Improv, set tomorrow night at the Improv. And I have to say... that there's the no pressure, but there's also the pressure of, I'm like, well, I don't have any material. I've been emptied out, except for the fact that no one has heard my material.
Right.
Feel free to do your material, Jackie. And so I will say that, so I listened to the Thursday show and the Saturday show, and I put time code together and I sent it off to the editor, and I was supposed to get a draft of it yesterday. And he called me and he was like, actually, he said, it's almost done. And then moments later, he's like, I don't understand the time code. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was almost done. My entire document was full of time code. And so
it doesn't line up with his time code.
I think he thought I was using the Vimeo, and I was using the, and I was, and there's two audio files. There's three sets of files, right? There's something called stem files. I've never even heard of those. There's the mixed files, which are, and those are both audio. Got those from 800 Pound Gorilla. And then there's the Vimeo files, which is where the, were essentially the mixed video files.
Right.
That, and so I was like, I gave you clips from the audio files, the mixed audio files, which are just raw audio, right? It's not mastered or anything. It's just, it's just mixed because of different mics. And, so hopefully I will get a draft tomorrow, of whatever this, of the special and the
God damn.
Album.
Wait,
because I can't.
It took you 2 days, but it's taken me 20 months to do. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, your standards are possibly higher than mine. And I literally was just knocking it out, going, this has to be done. I can't. And I am hoping that someone will license it, the video.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, there are literally now, and this is going to sound bitter and jealous.
Go for it.
I have to tell you something.
People subscribe to this podcast, and we don't give them enough. Go.
There's not enough. There are so many specials being handed out right now that the fact that they did not approach me and you and prior to this is criminal, is genuinely I am so angry and so mad and so sad about it that I have had to literally meditate and go, that's not why you do stand up. You don't do stand up for the parade. You do stand up because you want to do the thing and because you want to make people laugh. I get to do both of those things. So, quite honestly, getting to that sentence that I just said took, I had a temper tantrum this morning. I'm not even kidding. I had a temper tantrum Saturday morning, July 31st, 2021. Yeah. Jackie Cation went alone into a room and bawled and did some pillow work and was real mad and real sad. So,
I think I went nuts on Twitter last year when Rob Schneider's special was announced on Netflix. I believe that's when I went insane. I agree. I mean, and if you look at all the things that are being given to comics, it's being given to women. It's being given to everybody.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's the one thing that makes you and me a little different? What would that be? Over 35?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been doing comedy for too long and I maybe I just don't like, yeah. Hey, we've got really good bits locked and loaded, you know, right. What the fuck?
And I felt that's when I looked at all the lists and I'm seeing them all, you know, Comedy Central, yeah. HBO, Netflix, all of these different places are doing it. I'm like, I kept saying, you shouldn't be mad. Look at all those women. Look at all those people of color. Look at all these different, they're not all straight white guys. Yeah. Look what they're doing. Look, they're doing great work. You have just pointed something out that I was like, now I can actually be mad again because it, there's no one over 40 at all. So,
or if they're over 40, which I don't see if they're already famous known quantities that you can't deny. Right.
Oh, right. Right. It's
Hey, you know,
established.
It's really, really frustrating because during the time when the industry was picking the three women it was going to go all in on, we weren't one of the three, but we're still here and we're still good writers. And I would argue better writers than we've ever been. Sure. And our stuff's better than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. But no one even, there's not even a question. There's not even is she available? I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brutal. It's genuinely, So yeah, it's truly annoying.
Obvious? I don't get it.
Are we just what?
We do it for a hobby.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
And everyone else counts. Their career counts. And we're like, oh, they're still doing it. That's so cute. That's what it feels like.
It feels a little bit like that. And I think the reality is that the execs are the 35-year-olds that were sitting on deck that are psyched about the new 35-year-olds.
Right.
And that's their idea of an old person.
I know.
They feel old. Yeah. I remember when we were 35 and we felt kind of dated? Yeah.
Yes. Do you see all the comics that are in their 30s talking about feeling old? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you guys are you're so wrong. Like, you're saying you feel old on TV. Guess what? When you're actually old and not allowed on TV, you'll feel fucking old. Okay.
Right. And it is a great line from It's a Wonderful Life. Youth is wasted on the young.
Yes.
Anyway, just kiss her. Anyway, it was because I am feeling better and I'm sure it'll come back. But I was so mad and so sad about it. This will be, plus I was looking at, pardon I have a sinus infection. That's what I've got, by the way. I thought.
A lot of people are having the worst colds they've ever had right now.
Well, we're also slightly out in the world. So, so I was looking at how some of the ones that are out were shot. Mm-hmm. Like this guy, his new special.
Okay.
And it looks really good. And I was looking at mine and mine doesn't look like it's shot like that. You know, there's not enough.
But he has like overheads and.
Yeah. There's more overheads. And I didn't know because I don't know. You know,
Jackie, you got to have overheads in comedy. I'm sorry. That's just
right. I'm going to need a drone to zoom in like I'm in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear the punchline.
You pull wide on the setup and then the drone comes into your mouth on the punchline. That's the new
and
sign.
They're just like, oh, she got her tooth fixed, but not the ones on the bottom. Okay.
you're there now. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
Oh. What a, yeah, exactly. Oh my God. It was a bad morning. I'm not going to lie to you, but I will say that, cause I've had a bad week, like, you know, cause it has been a kind of an exhausting week for me.
Yeah.
Because you come off of something like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens to everybody. I'm sure it happens in every career, but you come off of something big that you've planned and you've overthought and then it's the crash.
Yeah.
You're like, this went really well. I'm really proud of it. I'm psyched. Now what? You know, it isn't even out yet. Nobody's even had a chance to look at it or do anything with it. But me, I'm like all over, you know, whatever. So,
Now I'm mad because because I was just thinking, like, you know, what is valued in this industry, right? Like, I don't care to skate on this, but I'm just putting this out there. If a 35-year-old comic was trending on Twitter because they were tweeting about their mom dying, like, I noticed it, of course, on the day my mom died. I'm like, Jesus Christ, my name is on the right-hand column of Twitter. I'm getting DMs from Preet Bharara, from Lin-Manuel Miranda, from Valerie Bertinelli. Okay.
Yep.
You and I have material on it. Mm-hmm. You don't think that 35-year-old would have some sort of TV presence right now?
Yeah. Yeah. At least a 10, 12-minute set on Netflix. Yeah. Because they're doing half hours, and they're also doing 10-minute sets on Comedy Central. And it is genuinely infuriating. And
you are literally the only person I can talk to about this.
Right. <Honestly. laughs> Right. Right. And it's right. And it feels like I'm bitching. And I am bitching.
Yes.
Yes. I get it. Show business. There's no fair in show business. Show business isn't fair. The fair is held in Pomona. That's what I was told when I moved here.
Oh my God. That person needs to be assaulted. And you know I'm against assault. I have a long record of not being pro-assault.
Yeah. So in better news, I did my first set last night where I didn't try to go to the – where I was just like, try the two new bits.
Sure.
And so I tried the two new bits and I came up with a couple of new punchlines, a couple of new new angles that aren't new, you know, just sort of, you know, it's this bit that I've been that I want to work on. And I realized that it references other stories that I've told, but have never done on stage. Mm-hmm. So it is now a real piece of work. And now it is a real bit with some hope. And I think I'm on the 10:30 show tonight.
Where? At the Improv? Improv?
Oh, yeah. Cool. So last night I'm at Jetpack. So I went to Dynasty before.
Oh.
Just to hang out because it was Maria and Beth Stelling.
Oh, cool.
Chatting on each other. And I wanted to see.
They were doing a podcast or a.
It was some sort of. There was some
was
sort
it
of
for
dialogue.
JFL?
I don't think so. Oh. Maybe. I don't know what the hell it was for.
JFL kind of took over Dynasty this week.
Maybe
I did a set on the alternate, but go ahead. I'll tell you mine.
Well, I didn't get to stay or go in. The COVID protocols were so intense.
Right.
That the guy who was showing me around, just a new door guy. He was like, I saw him look around really fast. He goes, we have to leave. We have to go. And I was like, I was clearly like one too many persons backstage. Right. And so I was like, oh, I can totally fuck off right now. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so I left and then we were standing in the front. I was talking to Jamie for a second and Jamie's like, do you want to do sets? And I was like, yes, I've been slightly busy, but I totally want to do sets.
And, I love when people, are you interested in performing comedy? Yeah. Uh-huh. As it turns out, if you look at my history, very much.
Did you hear about this? That that really cool Mexican restaurant that was right next to the Hayworth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't make it. It didn't make the COVID.
Okay.
So they bought it. Those guys bought it.
It's Are they going to turn it into a giant green room for us?
I think they're going to turn it into a restaurant kind of situation.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's going to be like sort of a cool, like
oh, that's
a big,
cool.
It has potential.
So because there's an alley between those two buildings.
Yeah.
So now they own the alley. So now it will be... It will be a little more cooler and less like you're lurking and, hiding from.
Trying to get into the green room of the Hayworth I literally feel like I'm on a dungeon crawl and I didn't bring rope.
it is an alley situation. I had a show on Tuesday night, which was cool because I just finished doing like 25 sets in Manhattan.
Right,
and
right.
So I felt, shit felt tight, right? Mm-hmm. And I had, I had eliminated some like jokes that maybe fit into a longer set, but are a little weak on a 10 or 12 minute set, right?
Okay.
So I was on this show, and it was the day Bob Odenkirk, who seems to be on the mend, you know, from all reports.
Oh,
but
yeah, yeah.
At that time, he had just announced that he'd collapsed on the set. So, and a lot of the people on the show, like Brian Posehn and Patton, knew him pretty well. So they were sort of, you know, troubled, to say the least.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was, I brought my son and I brought, you know, because I'm a water polo mom now, I have a chair that I bring everywhere, you know, that I can sit and watch meets at. So I brought the chair for him to sit in the alley so he wouldn't be in the green room. And he just sat and drew his creatures on his iPad while we all went up and did shows. So that was kind of cool. And Maria and Scott were there. And who else was on the show? Andy Kindler hosted. Solomon Giorgio.
Wow.
It was Solomon and Andy in a row talking about death. So that was like it was a JFL show. So it's available if you buy the pass to JFL that all they've streamed everything, right? Like you watch all the new faces. They were also a Dynasty and stuff. And then I guess they wanted to release my set or all the sets on Sirius, you know, and split the money the normal way. And I said, you could release the COVID mom stuff just because it would hit now more than ever.
Yeah.
And people, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But not the whole thing. So I think it was an all or nothing, but Bruce was going to see if they'd just be interested in the COVID stuff because, you know, I might improve it, but it'll hit differently a year from now. Or 20 years from now, when I actually get it on an album.
Right.
And the other stuff isn't finished, I feel like. So.
The other stuff isn't finished. But here's the good news is that it will drive people to that album when it is finished. So if it is all or nothing.
Do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If it is all or nothing, I would say do it just for the sound exchange money and then let the chips. Because I, of course, have written a new tag for one of my signature bits.
And does it bring it all together finally?
It fucking will.
Oh no.
It's the they them joke.
Yes.
And so
we there needs to be technology, and this is for comedians only, that we get to go in and add shit. Okay.
Right.
And, and they remain in their same name and everything on iTunes and whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah. So
you know that angle? That's
yes.
The angle in the chat.
Oh boy.
So yeah. So it's got
there's
all
a lot,
kinds of potential.
A lot there.
Yeah. There's a lot there. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Any minute now. So I will say that so I also, my August is insane. I just picked up a shit ton. Okay, so this week, the 6th, hey, guess what? Online comedy is back, Lori. You know?
Yay!
I'm doing the Nowhere Club. I'm headlining the Nowhere Club.
Cool.
I'll work on my news on the 6th. So everybody, you know, I'm going to put it on my website, follow me on Twitter and all the things. Feel free to come and watch me do another set online, but on the Nowhere Club, and they run it right, those guys. They really do. It's super fun. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's Friday night. And then, but the thing is so I think it's on. Yeah, it is on. So the 13th and 14th, I'm going to Phoenix to do Stir Crazy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So 13th and 14th, I'm in Stir Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The DNA, the Santa Cruz Comedy Festival is the 21st.
Ooh.
Yeah. But get this, the last week of August, go ahead.
Oh, where's the venue? Because
it's outdoors.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is
weird face that I'm making. That's weird.
It's
gotta
fun.
Back up.
It's
okay.
Fun.
Yeah. It'll be super. It'll be super fun.
Yes.
But on the 23rd. Yeah. It's Santa Cruz. It'll be great. Andy's going to drive up with me. We're going to get a hotel that could take the dog, you know, it'll be super fun. And so
cool.
The 23rd, I'm doing the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas.
Oh, hey, cool.
The 23rd, 24th, 25th in Las Vegas, the 26th. Wait, the 27th, rather, I fly to Albany, New York to open for Maria.
Oh, will you please go to the graves of my dead ancestors in Albany? Please, I beg of you. I need someone to look around. Please.
I will do what I can. You have to remind me.
Sounds like you have plenty of time. You're flying in for one show across country and then leaving the next day.
Exactly. Should have plenty of time to Google map that and superimpose myself over the front of somebody in some garage where it looks like winter. So the last week of August is nuts and the first week of September is nuts because I'm opening Limestone in Bloomington. I'm doing a headline set Thursday in Indiana.
Wow. At the Attic?
No, at the theater.
Oh, okay.
The one around the corner over by that farm to table place. Oh, anyway, Brandi Posey was so funny last night. She had a farm to table joke that was hilarious. Oh, anyway, so Will Weldon, also hilarious and dark and sad and made you want to find him a padded room and give him a hug. Anyway, so, yeah, and then
that's my kind of comedy.
Yeah, that's it. But so I fly to Bloomington on Thursday from Bloomington, from Indiana on Friday, I fly to Alameda. And I do Alameda the Friday and Saturday.
And you're going to have to get up because it's like a 2-hour drive to the airport and then
hour and a half. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. That's old school. That's some 2018 stuff right there.
Yeah. That's some real. Yeah. And then I'm opening for Maria the following week, but what am I doing? Yeah. I think I'm. Yeah. And then I go to DC in September, but it's like my workload, it's on the ground running.
Yeah.
And granted, I am vaccinated. I hope everyone who comes to see me is vaccinated. If you are not vaccinated, come to my online show on the 6th on Nowhere Club. You can hear the jokes. You can be in your house safely and go get vaccinated. Jesus H. Christ, please get vaccinated.
That's cool. I have, let's see, this weekend, Friday, I'm at the West Side for two shows, Santa Monica.
That's cool.
Right? The beautiful West Side.
Yeah.
And then Saturday I'm doing Paper Tiger, you know,
okay.
The comic book store. And then Sunday I'm doing Largo, opening for Patoon Oswalt.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of cool. That's super cool.
Yeah.
I have
both doing cool stuff.
I know. I'm like, wait, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, 13th and 14th, when you're in Phoenix, I'll be in Seattle at Laughs.
Oh, fun.
And okay. My best friend is hanging out up there for other reasons. So we're going to hang out and I'm going to bring my son. It'll be the last weekend before high school starts, right?
Wow.
So we're going to walk around Seattle. I guess that'll be his vacation for the year, which, you know, but then his vacations always include me darting away for 5 hours to do two shows. and then on Labor Day weekend, which is the first weekend of September, I'm going to go to New York for that weekend and hang out a bunch of spots and hopefully, you know, restart that, that monthly activity.
Yeah.
And then the weekend after, Thanksgiving. So that's like the 26th through the 28th of November. I'm at the Creek in Austin.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And then of course, New Year's Eve, I'm in Vermont at the Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington.
When are you in Vermont?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Oh, okay. Fun.
Yeah. So aside from September, and then I'm at Flappers in October, I think the week of the 14th, I think. But so I have like one anchor headlining week every single month, except for September.
Call Lewis. Lewis will book you.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay.
Cause, he'll hook you up. Don't sweat it. Yeah.
Okay.
And,
I've always felt like before this, if I could do one a month, then I'm in touch with the part of me that does 45 to an hour because the rest of the month I'm doing like these little 10 spots and I hate to go too long without doing a big chunk of time. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to be startled on the first show. You know what I mean?
Not wrong. Yeah. Yep. Jackie and Lori fans, you'll notice that Kyle is not here. I have just received a text message from Kyle.
Is he coming in?
He's not coming in unless I say, do you want to come in? Girlfriend and I were doing a no phones morning. Yeah. You and your relationship. That's beautiful, very beautiful, Kyle.
Yeah, anyway. That's not how you have a career, Kyle. That's how you have a relationship. You got to pick one or the other.
Let's actually make note of this time code and take a break. Let's take a break here.
Hi, I'm Annabelle Gurrich.
And I'm Laura House.
And we're the hosts of Tiny Victories.
My tiny victory is that I sewed that button back on the day after it broke.
We talk about that little thing that you did that's a big deal to you, but nobody else cares.
Did you get that Guggenheim Genius Award?
We don't want to hear from you.
We want little bitty tiny victories.
My tiny victory is a tattoo that I added onto this past weekend.
Let's talk about it.
My victory is that I'm 1 year cancer-free. But my tiny victory is that I took all of the cushions off the couch, pounded them out, put them back, and it looks so great.
So if you're like us and you want to celebrate the tiny achievements of ordinary people, listen to Tiny Victories.
It's on every Monday on Maximum Fun.
Okay. Hey, I was so excited when these guys contacted us. You know this because I've been using Wild Alaskan eating their fish for like over a year, at least, you know? Right. Here's the thing. You're supposed to get omega-3. This is why I started doing it. You're supposed to get all the stuff you get in fish oil and, you know, they'll package it and send it. You know, there'll be, there's companies that make fish oil tablets and all this stuff, but it's not, you're supposed to eat it. That's why food was invented. Okay. So that you eat it.
Yes.
You should get it in your salmon. And Wild Alaskan sends these amazing cuts of salmon. They're individually wrapped. I just throw them in the freezer and defrost the night before when I want to cook. It's like the one thing I can do that I could do like 10 years ago too, like cooking salmon. I just brown it in olive oil and lemon pepper, and then I grill it, and it's so good. And it's giving you all the nutrients you need to remain mentally healthy for the rest of your life.
Yes, sweeping. I enjoyed the haddock. I had some cod. We got cod, we got salmon, and we got haddock. And I've tried each of them once. And I am always intimidated by cooking fish, especially the high quality, sustainably sourced, wild caught seafood that is Wild Alaskan. So there is salmon, whitefish, or a combination of both. Each shipment contains individually wrapped portions of delicious wild caught seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. So you know, tell them how to get it.
I will. And just if you are a recycler like me, the stuff that it comes in is compostable. It's like, to me, this is revolutionary. I don't know why everyone isn't doing this.
Right.
So it's so good. I love it. And I love when I get my big box of Wild Alaskan salmon. I guess get it about every 6 weeks to a month. It depends. Like, you can tweak when you want it. You know, you can look in your freezer and go, wow, I need to go on a binge so I can get some
more. I love you dearly, but this is hilariously long.
Okay.
I have to say, I'm counting this as us also talking about comedy and Wild Alaskan.
Right now, you can get $15 off your first box when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/JackieLaurie. That's Wild Alaskan Company. I almost said comedy. WildAlaskanCompany.com/JackieLaurie for $15 off your first box. So good.
Do it. So yeah, Jackie Cation here telling you about some amazing cookware who have, I was psyched when they contacted us about this. It's called Made In. It's quality. If quality and craftsmanship obviously are important to you, check out Made In. Made In is a cookware and kitchenware brand that works with renowned chefs and artisans to produce some of the world's best pots, pans, knives, and wine glasses. So they're made of the finest materials and partner with renowned craftsmen to make premium kitchen tools available directly to you. They're easy to use. Swear to God. They're not too heavy, but they're sturdy and it's great. They're made to last. They offer a lifetime guarantee. It distributes the heat evenly, which is so important when you're trying to cook something, and the knives are fully forged, perfectly balanced, stayed sharp. So what you should know is that right now, Made In is offering listeners 15% off your first order with promo code JackieLaurie. So this is the best discount available anywhere online for Made In products. So Laurie, I recommend that that when you, you know, when you start cooking with these things, you, you, because 15% off is amazing, right? Yeah. So if you go to madeincookware.com/JackieLaurie and use the promo code Jackie Laurie for 15% off, you get it off your entire first order. So you can get all the things. You could get pots and pans and knives and wine glasses. And, but that's Made in Cookware, M-A-D-E-I-N, cookware, spelled cookware.com/JackieLaurie and use the promo code Jackie Laurie.
I appreciate, not only do they work with renowned chefs, but they work with us. We are, we're unrenowned chefs. So this is for all levels. So yeah, madeincookware.com/JackieLaurie for 15% off.
Let's do the comic of the week.
Oh, right. We're at a half hour already?
Yeah, well, we're 25, I would say. Yeah.
Our comic of the week, I know she thinks she had a good week because she got new faces at Montreal.
Yeah.
But this is even more impressive.
Right. The Jackie and Laurie bump. Oh, yeah.
She's comic of the week. Let's hear it for Ariel.
Elias.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Ariel Elias.
And it's spelled like Ariel from Little Mermaid. Don't mention it to her. She does a bit about it. She's covered. Yeah. She's A-R-I-E-L. But it's underscore comedy. So it's Ariel underscore comedy is her Twitter handle. And super funny. Really smart. Yep. Just tight. Great stage presence. New York comic, right? You said?
Because I don't think I've met her. Via Kentucky, if we go by her jokes. Could be lies. I encourage jokes to be lies.
She writes for If There Goes Wisconsin or something, where Wisconsin goes, or I forget what it's called, but she writes for this sort of funny political Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Mocking my people. That'll happen.
I saw your ears and your heart perk up when you saw the word Wisconsin associated with it.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I was home and my first, essentially what I used to call my last friend from high school. I have since reconnected with other people from high school, but the guy I've known since junior high.
Yeah.
And we never lost touch. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I love him like a brother. I love him. And as you know, I have four brothers and a couple of them drive me nuts. Yes. So, and right now my buddy Stefan driving me nuts. So we went out for ice cream when I was in Milwaukee visiting my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was a caricature of a guy from South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was like, I haven't gotten the vaccine yet. Is that all right? And Andy and I are like, no. What? He's like, well, I don't want to make you guys sick. I was just at a 4-day polka festival up in Pulaski, Wisconsin.
Oh, my God.
With Jackie, thousands of people.
Did you order this man from Central Casting or is he actually a friend?
He literally feels like he's from Central Casting. And I was like, wait, you went up to Pulaski without being vaccinated? And he was like, and literally right after he had told me that he's noticed a lot more dead trees by cell phone towers for 12 minutes.
Oh.
I said, what is happening? And he was like, don't worry so much, Jackie. And I was like, I'm going to worry about the disease that's killed 600,000 people. You worry about the cell phone towers. And wow. I talked to him like an hour later because he was like, are you mad at me? And I'm like, I'm worried about you, brother. And he goes, well, you know, I had the first shot.
So he didn't tell you that?
No, until just then. And I was like, wait, which one? I don't know what he was trying to do. But he said, I had the Pfizer first shot. And I said, then you're 75% protected. Get the second shot. Get the other 20%. And he goes, well, it's probably too late now. And I was like, it is not too late. Just get the shot. God. And so
I swear what they want is to be yelled at. They love to irritate us.
Or just people.
Yes. I'm going to call them theys. They these anti-vaxxers or these people that aren't vaccinating, they love to get yelled at so they can call, you know, they can respond. Something about that makes them happy, that interaction, okay? Or makes them feel alive or something.
Something's happening. Oh, my God. It's brutal. I was driven mad. And, you know, I don't want him to get sick. We're 100 years old. Jesus, God. And, you know, he... But he's a good guy in other ways.
I know, it's weird because there are like people like that where you're like, oh, they are a good guy a good person in other ways. And for some reason,
like he voted for Trump and I have to write him off.
Oh, thank God.
So sure. he's just a goof in some ways. And I was like, okay, man, you're killing
me.
You know,
a lot of people aren't reading the same things that we're reading. Like they're just not online as much as we are. And, you know, like have the COVID list of grim COVID posters that I check like 10 times a day. Right.
Right. You know, I was having a temper tantrum this morning, so I decided to talk to Susan Sarandon on Twitter.
Yes. That'll get out some aggressions.
It really, all it's gotten is people going, are you okay? Leave her alone. And it was Peter Dow or Peter, whatever his name is. You know,
Yeah.
That guy is hit and miss for me, but I've quoted him.
Yeah.
But he was clickbaiting that Joe Biden has not fixed everything from Reagan times to present time in the last 7 months.
Right.
And I was like, yes. You are correct. In other news,
I mean, he's a centrist, you know,
He's had 7 months to triage his inbox, right? Mm-hmm. To get us back to the shitty world of 2016, much less the shitty world of 1984, so he's 7 months in, you know, he might do more good things. He's done some good things. And
what can you do with those two fucking assholes, Simina and Manchin? You know what I'm saying? That's your margin.
That is your margin.
Yes. I tweeted, you know, the Olympic coach that went insane when his swimmer beat Katie Ledecky. So I took a gif of that, right? Someone had turned it into a gif and I said, me when anti-vaxxers test positive for COVID. You know, and it went a little viral. And then some doctor quote tweeted me, well, I might feel upset when someone doesn't take the vaccine. This is done. We should be better than this, right? And I'm like, I hate when people quote, they're using you to teach their followers a lesson on life. And that really pisses me off. And plus, I was like, so you're a doctor. I'm just a comedian. You're a doctor and you're telling people you don't like anti-vaxxers. I don't know that you should be doing that. Like you're supposed to be sort of neutral when any patient comes to you, you know, and you're out here as an out MD saying you don't like these people. I don't have to be neutral. Okay. Right. I just need to kill on a Saturday night.
Yep. But I'm glad that he's mad at anti-vaxxers. It's like, I had to go to the urgent care yesterday for my sinus thing.
Right.
And it took 3 hours to get someone to see me. And it was crawling, Kaiser Permanente in Panorama City, crawling with humanity. Hundreds of people. I walked in. So I went in, I got my vitals. I went back outside. I got a text saying, you're next. Go to 182 waiting room. So I go to the waiting room. I walk in. It's not full, but it's got a bunch of people in it. And there's a sign that says maximum 12. People for COVID. It probably seats 40, right?
Right.
And I go in and I start counting and I there was like 16 people in there. And so I started counting out loud because that's the pissy mood that I'm in.
Yes.
I'm like 2, 4, 7.
Oh my God.
And as I hit 16, I just backed in out of the room like that meme of Homer Simpson.
Oh my God, that's awesome. There's got to be security footage video of that. Jackie, please get it. Please.
It was dumb. So I was like, you guys. And so I, you know, of course I've had this sinus and I'm just like, well, I probably have COVID and I probably have breakthrough the vaccine. I do not. And everyone was super nice, by the way. Everyone was very polite. There were a couple of old people who were grumpy, but what I'm always reminded with old people is that they're in constant pain.
Yes, they really are.
It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, anything. So, but I don't know. I just, I want, I don't know what to do. Like, we're all just sort of going, we've opened up again. I got sets and clubs. I got road work, and we're doing it because I'm vaccinated. And like last night, like most of the people at Bar Lubitz were wearing masks when they weren't eating or drinking, when they weren't drinking, essentially.
Oh, that's cool.
In the audience. And, but the sets were great. Brandy Posey, so fucking funny.
She is.
Will Weldon, super hilarious.
Yeah.
The two hosts, both really hilarious. Ben, I'm forgetting their names. God damn it. Pete. Yeah. Pete and Ben. Yeah. They were both really funny.
Yep.
And it's just nice to see stand up. You know, it's just nice. And everybody's kind of talking about the pandemic and quarantine and the same stuff, you know, mental health, suicide, everything.
But, Bar Lubitz is also like this pillow of a room that allows you to, you know, jump off and try different things and then jump back to the pillow.
Yeah. Like, the audience there is they're all industry middle management. Like they're all actors and people who work in the industry,
right?
Middle management. And so they are an excellent audience, quite honestly, as far as telling. For me, my favorite thing about a Bar Lubitz audience is that you can tell if something is a little hacky.
Right.
Because they will have heard it.
Yeah.
They will. Right. And if you are telegraphing where that joke is going, they're like, whatever. And it's annoying.
It will work in the Midwest.
It'll work absolutely everywhere else. It'll work in Phoenix and San Francisco and California, everywhere. You know, it'll work absolutely everywhere. But I will say that, you know, if you aspire to write something that isn't hacky, like I did my Rapture joke and they saw it coming. And I was like, well, it's already on the album.
You can't shoot something that's already been killed. But also they may have heard you do it if they're comedy fans and you know have attended any shows online.
In the last 3 years. Yes, it's true. It's true. They might have been at the show before. That's true. Yeah. I'm gonna say I am not a hack out loud.
No, you're not.
It's gonna happen. Not at all.
But any bit that you've been doing for a while starts to feel hacky in your head because you're not excited by it anymore. And you're like, I got this one in the can, you're not gonna tweak it or anything like that. So
yep. It's true.
I am like they're like Abbott, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is just he's a massive asshole, right? And he's made it illegal for cities to do mask mandates. So, you know, part of me is like, it's not till late November that I'm in Austin, but they are having a surge right now. And their governor won't let them take the precautions they need to stop the surge. So, but it's also 3 months from now, you know, basically, I don't know. We'll see. But, I am vaccinated, and if I can get a booster, I will lie and cheat and steal to get a booster.
Right. I would have to say same because, I don't, there's all these clubs that I'm not doing right now. Mm-hmm. That I see other people at. Yeah, I'm literally just a pile of jealousy right now. I think I've just spent 16 months alone, being at one, being very, very peaceful, being full of acceptance. Right. And right now, acceptance can kind of screw itself because I'm not interested in acceptance for a minute.
Again, and you and I too have been doing nonstop shows to stay to stay in touch, right? To stay good, to not be so we don't have 3 months of trying to figure out how to get the mic out of the stand and all that stuff. And to see all the like the goodies being given to people, you're like, I never saw you on a single fucking Zoom show. I never saw you.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Is it helpful to wallow in this? It's not, but it's totally understandable, you know, for just to be like Heavy diet.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally there is, you know, we are humans. We, yep. There's a certain amount of humanity to this, and there's, oh, I know what I wanted to talk about that was more cheerful though. The the Olympics, which I figured out how to, what channel it would be on with my rabbit ears. And I've been recording it, on my old timey TiVo.
Wow.
That was given to me because they advertised on the Dork Forest.
Wow. That's nice. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you pay attention to the Michael Che stuff the other day?
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Say something about the Olympics, or is he just being Michael Che?
He was being Michael Che. I mean, he...
Shocking.
He likes to... That's what he likes to do. Okay?
The guy wants to be a tool bag. He wants to be a freaking tool bag. And success, brother.
Yeah, it works.
What did he do?
It worked. So... Okay, so he, you know, with all the Simone Biles stuff going on, right? There's a million takes on Simone Biles, right? And so, of course, no matter who you are, of course, comedians, you can only take so much earnestness on Twitter before the evil part of your brain starts coming up with jokes, right? So, of course, I know some comics have some Simone Biles jokes, right?
Or
jokes about the situation, whether they punch, I hate this term, up or down, who cares? It's what, you know, you and I probably, I remember this, you probably do too. Every fucking male headliner had a JonBenet Ramsey joke at some point. And little girl was murdered. So it's part of a comic brain to take an earnest, heartfelt situation and try to get a laugh out of it.
Right. Whether every tragedy.
A good laugh or a fucking oof kind of laugh.
Yeah.
It's something. Okay. So he kind of posted on Instagram, like, I'm feeling like I want to do some Simone Biles jokes, which, you know, I didn't have that feeling about Simone Biles, but I've had that about other like hot situations where you're like, you know, and so people started sending him jokes, I guess, on Instagram, and he would retweet them and grade them like a gymnastics coach. So they were the two that he did, or the two that got attention, were like oofers, like major, like, ugh, right?
Yeah.
Again, if he had just told them in a comedy club, it probably would have been fine because, hey, it's Michael Che. He's famous. I like him. Even if the audience were to groan or boo, he could get them back because we all can get them back after a boo.
Right. Right.
But, and I can't believe comedians haven't learned this since the Ari Shaffir, Kobe Bryant situation. You cannot put these jokes out on social media because you can't control who's going to see them. And you also, as a comedian, when you're on stage, you can control, like, you can get the crowd back, but you can't do that on social media.
Not when it's been amplified and spread far and wide and taken entirely, even to some extent, taken out of context, because he's not that famous, right? Where they're just like, enough,
if you were at the Comedy Cellar and he came up, you'd be like, oh my God, it's a guy from, even if you weren't a huge comedy fan, you're like, it's a guy from SNL.
He's famous, but he's not as famous as like, you know, once that meme or once that joke makes it, you know, over, it's in England, they don't know who the hell he is. And they're, you know, who is this jerk? Oh, he's just, you know, whatever. So,
I you know,
but you can't control it. It's what you said. Yeah.
So for him, you know, he seems to get into these situations a lot. So maybe that's his dynamic as a comic. Maybe, and I don't know what it's like to be famous, but maybe when you get up on stage and you're famous and the crowd automatically likes you, part of you is like, why? Like, you don't trust it. So you almost push them away a little bit. I have no idea. And maybe that's not even about me at all. Maybe it's just about all my relationships with men. But so that's kind of a thing he does, and he, and whatever. But it's, I just, like, somebody else, she tweeted, or she sent me a DM of a joke that was really funny. And it's like, I shouldn't tweet this. And I'm like, fuck no, you shouldn't tweet this. You want to have a career, right?
Yeah.
This is funny. And everyone will misinterpret it as you being like, you know, pro assassination or something. So, I concurred, but comedians, Twitter is not a comedy club. All right. Nope. Instagram is not a comedy club. It's a place where they're going to misinterpret shit and, you know, save your hot takes, especially when you're really excited about it. Because mm-hmm. you know the reason you're excited is you probably shouldn't, the social taboo of joking about that thing right now.
Right, right.
Well, pay attention to that feeling. Get a little chat going of fellow comics who can respect you for writing the joke. That's right. All you really want anyway.
Right. You just want kudos for having stuck that landing.
Yes.
And yeah. So
not that even any and the thing is that cracks me up with him is he went through all this. These aren't even jokes he wrote. He just reposted them. I'm like, at least if I'm going to go down on a bad rape joke, it'll be one I wrote. That's how I feel. Because I ran a lot of them.
Right. Last night, the guy, and I've seen him before. I've met him off and on over the years. His name's Jordan Temple. Okay. He went up. He writes for Miss Maisel. And he was just... As soon as he was in the middle of his set, I was like, oh, I remember this guy.
Yeah.
And because it's this sloppy, I want to do stand up, but I mostly just want to make fun of you people for not knowing that I have a writing job. And so
are you going to include you're going to keep his name in this?
He can handle it. I mean, what? It's not, okay. he was funny. I mean, he did exactly what you just said. He said horrible things.
Okay.
And then dug himself out of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He said more shitty things and dug himself out of it. It was like, I mean, he opened with a Bill Cosby joke.
A pro Bill Cosby joke?
Yes.
Jackie, it's not a common take, honestly. I mean, if you want to be original. Yes.
Right. Speaking of not being hacky. Right. He wasn't hacky at all. He was super funny.
Oh, my God.
But it was brutal. It was like I was sitting there going, what is he? Oh, okay. Well, and then what is he? Oh, okay. And so it was just like, you know, when you're watching somebody and you're watching it for the technical. Right. And I wasn't watching it as an audience member. I was watching it as a comic and the technical. So it was kind of fascinating.
I mean, sometimes you're like working on a bit and you want it to like change the world. And sometimes you just want to be an asshole. And everyone like, he's like, oh, heavens to Betsy. I can't believe someone would make a joke about this. It's been happening since stand-up comedy began. Okay. And again, not to repeat it, but the amount of JonBenet Ramsey jokes I've sat through in my lifetime, or I'm sure European comics with Madeleine McCann or whatever. Like,
they're still doing jokes about that woman who chopped that dick off.
Lorena Bobbitt.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, there's still names. Right. JonBenet jokes, Monica Lewinsky jokes, the Bobbitt jokes. They're all dumber than fuck. And they're just like they're tragedies. The 9/11 jokes.
Easy. I got some 9/11 jokes, Jackie.
I have a 9/11 joke.
You know, there's that saying, Adam Serwer, I think his last name. It's talking about Trump, right? And Republicans. And he says, the cruelty is the point. Sometimes in comedy, that's the point too. And, you know, there's a lot of comics that'll have one, you know, a little chunk and then some other chunks that aren't cruel on purpose, you know,
just get themselves out of it.
I don't know. Sometimes you have to get stand-ups out. Are.
Yeah. Sometimes you write a joke that is super mean and you're like, this is the hill I'm dying on. And you're like this in this 45 minutes. Yeah.
No. Is this smart? No. But is anyone who spends 30 years in a nightclub smart? No, we don't make good decisions from day one. From the first open mic, we made a bad decision. So you think we're going to start making good decisions on comedy topics?
Exactly. So nuts. Let's take another break.
Prepare yourself for the greatest pro wrestling podcast spectacular known as Tights & Fights. A fact-driving audio showcase that helps you understand the world of pro wrestling with a lot of love and no toxic masculinity. Featuring hosts Danielle Radford.
Time to kick butt and chew gum, and I'm all out of butts.
Lindsay Cal.
I'm a brutal Brit, and my fists were made to punch and hit.
And Hal Lublin.
I was doing the voiceover this whole time.
Hear us talk about pro wrestling's greatest triumphs and failures.
And make fun of its weekly absurdities.
On the Perfect Wrestling Podcast.
Tights and Fights. Every Saturday on Maximum Fun.
I think we have another 10 minutes.
Wow. I shot my wad on that rant.
Yeah.
On that bad joke rant.
I worked... What did I do? I did. So I've watched water polo. It's fascinating. Yeah,
it is. I haven't seen much because I don't. I'd love to see more of it.
I saw the water polo, by the way. What did
he do? The JP water polo team.
Oh, that's awesome.
They start working out on Monday. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And we saw the men's water polo, and you're just like, this is like soccer in the water.
Yeah.
Where they never stop swimming and they're just going. They seem to be 10-minute quarters.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
And they'd cut to a commercial, and then you'd come back and they would have skipped 3 minutes because it's like soccer, and they were just good blocks, you know? Like, no, but they literally are just trying to drown each other and not be caught and then throw balls into a net. And so then we watched the women's, and the women's was just as fascinating. And though, you know, the men have they just have greater upper body strength. Mm-hmm. And just how fast that ball was going at those people, like the goalies,
you were just like,
that's brutal. I watched the skateboard thing too, and I've been following the Brazilian kid since she was 7 or 8.
Is she the one that won, or is it
the silver? She won the silver.
Yeah, there's two 13-year-olds, right?
Right. Two Chinese.
A Japanese girl won it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Were they two Japanese? Because one was 16, one was 13. They were from the same country, and I think it was either Japan or China.
I
think you're right. I think it was Japan. And then the Brazilian kid won the silver. And the fourth was the American, who was 34 years old.
Oh my God. It's like comedy at the Olympics.
And she was amazing. And none of them were wearing pads, and you didn't have to wear helmets if you were over 18. It was really dumb. God. Everyone should have to wear helmets.
Sure. Yeah.
And, but it was super cool. And then I watched Brazil won that was the first year for skateboarding being in the Olympics. And I think the half pipes are coming up. And then, the surfing Brazilian guy, I think won, the gold in surfing too.
Wow.
And, US won women's. She's Hawaiian,
mm-hmm.
and she's American, but of Hawaiian, lives in Hawaii, and I believe of Hawaiian ancestry, which is kind of neat.
That's very cool. Did you see the Tunisian guy that won, I think, the men's 400 IM?
Nope.
And it was such a great race because he was in lane 8. Mm-hmm. And, in swimming.
What does that mean? Yeah.
Okay. So there's 8 lanes. The two fastest are in 4 and 5. And the third fastest.
Oh, is that why they're in yellow? Why are they the fastest?
Because those are the best places in the pool. They give the fastest qualifiers the best lanes in the pool, right? So you have a second, whatever.
Right, sure.
But because as the lanes get further out, you're getting more waves are coming towards your lane. Although these lanes these pools are designed to be completely placid. So, the water's completely still for everybody, right? You just don't want to be swimming through waves. So lane 8, it's the term outside smoke is very common in swimming, where lanes 4 and 5 are looking at each other, right? Because they're not only are the top qualifiers, they're assuming this is my only competition, kind of. It's just a natural thing if you're in 4, 5, or 6 to just look to the left and right very quickly. And 8, you can't see 8. 8's way over there. And so he was like, no one saw him. Like 4 and 5 didn't know, oh, I got to hurry up because 8's like a body length ahead of me.
So this guy won, and he's from Tunisia. That, you know, they don't obviously don't have a massively strong swimming program. Huge deal. It was a huge deal. It was like, you know, those Olympic moments. You're like, this is what's so cool about it. You know, somebody can do this, and you know, the country, you know, people watching at home, they are excited.
It's neat. You know, the thing about the Olympics is as much as you know, you're kind of rooting for your team, you're also psyched at all of the a physical prowess going on.
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't care. The, like I saw synchronized diving.
Yeah.
The Chinese were amazing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
They've dominated for decades. And, the fact that the British men's team won was a bit of an upset and, but it was gorgeous. Everybody was amazing. Even the Polish team was lovely. It was beautiful.
Even the Polish.
Well, no, they were way back in the field too, but they were outstanding.
I know. I watched one of the women's water polo games, China versus the US, and the amount so they pull their arms back, right, to throw the ball, and the flexibility they have in their shoulder, like, their shoulders just go so far back so easily. It's amazing just to look at them setting up a shot, you know?
Wow.
And what else am I going to say? Katie Ledecky, she won the 800 meters freestyle. And she has the top 23 times in history. And then number 24 is Erica Sullivan, an American who got second. She got the silver.
Okay.
And Vulture, she's gay, and she's like Vulture did a really cool interview with her because she's like a total Taylor Swift fan, and she just seems hella normal and cool and funny, and also the second best distance freestyler in the world, you know?
Right.
Like very like a teenager or something like that. So
yeah. It's I just got another.
What? News?
I just got another text from Kyle, and I'm like, "Why don't you come in the 11th hour here?" Because I think we're at an hour. I think we're pretty darn close. People, come and see me at the Nowhere Club on Friday. Get tickets at nowhere.com.
Do it.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.